But sometimes saying something sounds gay is because it sounds gay.
That right. sucks. The podcast sucks. You know, the concert sucks. The steak dinner you cook sucks. Well, let's quickly jump to the campaign trail. We have to talk about politics, although I am so sick of politics. Well, I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. Baby, check this out. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I'm T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm not. I'm Max.
Max, you are fabulous, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just going to be, and I'm just going to say it, it's going to be too gay if you're the Fabulous Penguin and I'm the Fabulous Max.
Okay, well, you know, there are certain guests of ours that would love to have that be the situation.
You know, there's a TV commercial, well... Go ahead and finish the open, and then let me talk.
We're just two guys talking to everyone about anything. We're produced by 8 Beer Sample Productions, and this is episode number 65 for Thursday, October 23rd, 2008.
All right, there's a commercial out now, and it's about the expression, "That's so gay," or "He's so gay."
Right.
And I only saw it once. They show some people in some text, and they say, you know, think about what you're saying. And I've thought about this before.
Is it a PSA kind of thing?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they're saying that saying something gay is saying something bad. And I take the point, and I think it's true most of the time that's it. But sometimes saying something sounds gay is because it sounds gay. Not because it's bad. Am I wrong there?
Well, I know what you're saying. I understand completely what you're saying. But from my perspective, if you say something is that's gay.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a slight bit of slander or a slight bit of.
Yeah, slander.
Genderism or whatever, however you want to call it, that's present there. I know what you're saying. I mean, it would be like saying, you know, it's like if you ran into somebody who was gay and you said to them, you know, you invited them over to your house for dinner and you said, would you do the flowers on the table for me? You know, because obviously all gay men do flowers well, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's that assumption that there's, you know, that there's something there. And that's what makes it. Question.
Oh, I see. Because the underlying assumption that I'm missing is that all gay men sound gay.
Right. But that having
that's a prejudice. You're right.
Right. But that having been said, I also think that an expression like that enters into our forms of communication and loses. It's like the word sucks. This sucks.
I knew where you were going with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It used to be that was a horrible term that referred to a sex act.
Right.
But it doesn't anymore. Now it just means that something is bad.
Is a
in some way, shape, or form. That
right.
sucks. The podcast sucks. You know, the concert sucks. The steak dinner you cook sucks. All right? That's what it means. Well, to me... A simple statement like that sounds gay, has, you know, for lack of a better term, has jumped the shark on
it's
the
crossed
prejudice.
Over to being just a
it's
a
just
place.
Means it just means it's not a it's not derogatory.
Well, it is derogatory. It's an idiom.
Right.
But it's a derogatory idiom just like sucks.
Right.
You know, another one crossed my mind this week as I was watching, I think, Obama. Speaking at a rally, and it made me think of my dad because he never used to say this word either, because it was vulgar, in a subtle way. Screwed.
Oh, okay, sure.
You know, George Bush has screwed this country.
Right.
Something is all screwed up. There used to be a direct sexual.
Right.
Baggage.
But not anymore.
Nah,
now it just mean. I mean, it's like FUBAR. It's just, you know.
Right.
It has changed. The meaning has changed.
Yeah.
And it's no longer, it no longer carries that prejudicial.
So you think gay can mean bad without meaning homosexual?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's a lot I mean, it's just starting to happen now, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that that's it. And you know, I blame it on, or I congratulate the kids for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the kids who just say it all the time. I mean, you know, if you say sucked 150 times, it loses its impact.
Well, this is George Carlin's theory.
Right.
Say words more and more. And this is this is why the N-word bothers me, because it's I now feel like I have trouble saying that. And just talking about the word, when really I think that the opposite way to handle it is the preferred way to handle it, that you want to say nigger. Right, like Patti Smith did in Rock and Roll Nigger, to the point where it just loses all of its power. And,
and I
think the more you respect it and put it in a chalice, the more power it has.
Right. The problem with that word is that it comes from such a long, long, long-standing prejudicial negative feeling. I mean, sucked comes from a, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, from being a dirty word. And that's real easy, just like George Carlin's seven words you can't say on television. You know, you say it's like the three-year-old who says the word shit. Shit. After, you know, after they say it 100 times and you ignore it, they stop saying it and they go on to the next whatever.
It stopped being funny.
Right. But there are certain words, I think, that carry so much baggage with them that it would be difficult to see it happening that way.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because this word has been used for 200, 300 years as a negative. And until the OJ trial and what's his name? I can't think of the lawyer's name all of a sudden. Until he started calling it the N-word.
Right.
And, which was intended to give it even more, or heighten it.
Sure.
People used to say the word. And yeah, it was used in a bad way by a vulgar cop. It also doesn't make his detectiving bad, but it certainly shows a bias. I don't want to get into the whole OJ trial.
Sure.
But
no, but it's, you're right, it shows a bias.
But the word itself was rarely called the N-word until after that couple of weeks or several weeks, whatever it was, on television. And the other thing that made it more sensational was that it was on television. But should it have been put on TV? I don't know. Should it have been made into the N-word? My own opinion is no, and I think most black people would tell me I'm full of shit. So
right. Well,
but anyway it's about giving words power, and if we both were fabulous, people would think we're gay.
Okay, I gotcha. I understand. All right, I won't call you fabulous. Don't worry about it. So
the mediocre Max.
Right. Well, let's quickly jump to the campaign trail. We have to talk about politics, although I am so sick of politics. Well, I'm sick of it. I am sick of it.
For the record, as if it's the point's not been made, point out that in this episode, Max will be driving the political effort more than the Fabulous Penguin, and that's fine. I understand why you're sick of it. I get it. I can't get enough politics. I just like it. I'm a political junkie. It's religion to me, almost, and particularly because, well, for one, it's democracy, and I love democracy, and for two, because I'm just so fucking sick of George Bush.
Right. Well, but you only have a few more days to worry about that, because he'll be gone.
Well, he's got 90-some days left in office.
Right.
And as Bill Maher says, he can still touch things.
Well, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to talk about Sarah Palin and her Brian Williams interview.
All right. I don't have that much on this other than the fact that she finally made the rounds and has been interviewed now on every network. And this time They seated her with John McCain, which I'm not the first one to point this out.
Right.
So as to give her a little cover and a little shelter.
A little support in case she says something stupid.
Right. And the whole interview, as Brian Williams was saying today, lasted 55 seconds. So he's scanning his list of questions and throwing things out.
Right.
Because he's got to try to cram it in here. My hero politically was John Kennedy. And my dad used to like to talk about how Kennedy, every week I think it was, but even if it was every month, at least every month, got up in front of the Washington Press Corps and answered questions. He had a press conference at least every month. And starting with Reagan, because he was such a doddering idiot, the Republicans have hidden their leaders further and further away, and they just pretty much packed George Bush on ice.
Right.
And whenever he did get out to speak.
And you know that they'll do the same thing with McCain and Palin.
I don't know that they'll do it with McCain, because I think he's, first of all, got more of a brain. And I've heard a lot of people question this, but more of a brain than George Bush.
Right.
And secondly,
I'm just afraid that by the time 4 years are up, he'll be doddering more than Reagan was.
Well, yeah, I think so.
So.
But he's much more involved in ideas and in his own office.
Right.
I think George Bush got tired. I think he's easily distracted. We heard reports and we heard himself say that he was not intellectually curious.
Right.
So, you know, there was every reason for him, along with Dr. Evil, you know, running the show, for him to be intellectually lazy. So I don't think McCain will be that way.
Right. I do. I think that they would do the same thing. But here's my take on the interview, too.
Yeah.
All right. In a nutshell, I don't think that she has anything to say. Honestly, I don't think that she has anything to say. I think that her stances are ridiculous. I think that her take on the vice presidency is outright anti-constitutional. I think that her stance that she has more executive experience than any of the other candidates is laughable. I think that she has absolutely nothing to offer in terms of being a vice president, in terms of being on the ticket, in terms of being in a position of power. And that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, I mostly agree with you. I do think that she has a brain. She did go against her own party with respect to some sort of negotiations with the oil companies.
But you know what? I mean, you can hold that up and say that, but then she turned around and went right back to politics as usual with the whole Troopergate thing and the money that was used to fix her house up and all that other stuff. Politics as usual. She talks a good battle. She got it herself elected with it, which means she might be a smart politician, but she has nothing to say. She's an empty vessel.
Well, I think I agree with that for the most part. I really feel that her answers are, and I watched her in this interview, and she still is giving, well, I think of them as cheerleader kind of answers. And
oh, again, yeah, they're memorized talking points. Rah, right, rah, rah, siskum ba. Here is my, you know, I'm the maverick. We're the mavericks. We're the mavericks, you know, and right. She has nothing to say.
Maverick, maverick, maverick.
Right.
All
right. Well, she's already pushed way too much time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
So you wrote down another thing, which I also agree with you about, and this is another reason why I'm so sick and tired of politics right now, and that's Joe the freaking plumber.
Yeah.
You know, now at the rallies, people are holding up signs. I'm Bill the... You know, I'm Bill the electrician. I'm Mary the dietitian. I'm Gloria the nurse. You know, why don't you just hold up a sign and say, I'm with stupid?
Well, they are.
Right.
What I think about Joe the plumber is that he annoys me because he would actually benefit from Barack Obama's tax cut. He does not own his own business.
I saw this story was bizarrely made up.
Right. There's some evidence that or somebody suggested, I'm not sure there's evidence, I think there is, that he was a plant from the McCain campaign. If he bought the business, he would still not make more than what it would take to be taxed, to have his taxes go up. But he is classically American in that he thinks of himself as richer than he is.
Right. Well, this is what I was bringing up last week when we were talking with Charles Pinkerton. My point about Joe the Plumber was the fact that it's just an attempt by the GOP to kind of humanize their inhuman policies.
Right.
And how do you do that? Well, you make it look like Joe the average guy, whatever Joe is, whether he's a plumber or an electrician or whatever, and you hammer this point that Barack Obama is going to raise his taxes. Doesn't matter whether it's true or not, which it's not.
It's not true.
You know, but they're going to hammer that because that's what Karl Rove said wins you elections.
Yes. Well, and as a symbol, unfortunately, he's been effective. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I saw a whole bunch of polls today, and they have Obama leading in all of the swing states. It depends on which poll you look at. I did hear about one poll that had Obama up by one nationally, and a bunch of polls that have him up between 10 and as high as 14%.
Yeah, there is a wide variety, but he's definitely expanding the lead. They were talking about Pennsylvania tonight. What I found interesting was, did you see how McCain blasted Bush and a high Bush executive blasted back, and everybody is saying that it was Karl Rove?
Right.
And did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. It was one of the funniest things I've seen. I mean, basically
Go ahead, repeat it.
He basically said, to paraphrase, he basically said, you should be talking about Barack Obama causing these problems, not George Bush, especially in light of the fact that you're doing so poorly, that you just spent $150,000 on clothes, and you've pulled money from, that you're pulling money from other candidates who need, election scratch, and stuff like that. I mean, it was just a classic Karl Rove statement that you're used to seeing aimed at the Democrats, and it was aimed right at Senator Kane's floor.
I wasn't going to bring up Sarah Palin's clothes, but as long as you did, Chris Matthews tonight had a number that said that if they had spent the money for Sarah Palin's clothes on Joe the Plumber's house, they would still have $23,500 left.
Right. I heard that too. Yeah.
So, I think it's a silly point, but I think Bill Ayers and this whole socialism argument is a silly point. So let them be distracted by Sarah Palin's clothes, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
That's fine. People are pissed off about what she wears. Fine. I don't care.
Well, look, that's enough. I've had it. I'm tired of politics. That's enough politics.
There was one more point that I wanted to make. What the heck was it? I don't know. It may come back to me. I may have to try to edge it in because there was one more thing I wanted to say, but I don't remember.
Right. Well, I'm going to let you talk about how – well, I've always had trouble with the title of our bit called Dumb Not So Dumb.
Yeah.
And that was because
– we should tell our listeners that I like it.
Right.
But
I always had trouble with the title because –
Dumb Not So Dumb is always dumb.
They're always dumb. There's very, very few times. I mean, a couple of times we've had a dumb and not so dumb in the same story. But essentially, they're always dumb. And you had mentioned several times in several different podcasts this friend of yours, Brian, who lives out in the great state of Hawaii.
Yeah, I think I know who he'll be voting for.
Right. And he had come up with this set of rules called Brian's Rules of Social Dynamics. And rule number one is?
People are stupid.
Right. And I just thought, well, isn't that a great title? And I've requested that from now on, our dumb, not so dumb.
Be called Brian's Rules of Social
Dynamics.
And we have some
Oh, we got some buttes.
We got some subjects who might fit Brian's first rule of social dynamics.
Right. You ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
All right. This happened at Hartford the beginning of the week. Police say a Connecticut man playing police officer picked the wrong person to pull over. Guy was arrested Tuesday after he pulled over an off-duty Hartford police lieutenant.
Genius.
Okay.
Yeah.
He pulled him off the road. He used flashing lights, a siren, and a loudspeaker. Pulled him off the road. The police officer realized what it was, called for backup, and they came and they arrested him and his driving companion. He was charged with impersonating a police officer, reckless driving, improper use of red flashing lights, and reckless driving.
It's not the first time he'd been doing it.
Right.
It's actually kind of spooky because, you know, you have to stop if somebody's flashing the
lights. Well, here's my question about this whole thing. I mean, besides the fact that obviously this guy's an idiot. My question is, I've heard stories where bad men have posed as police officers to pull over women.
Right.
And then they have attacked them in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
What was this guy doing pulling some guy off the road? Was he going to rob him? Was he going to – did he just get off making believe he was a police officer?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Maybe he would just drive away in the next few seconds and laugh about it.
Right.
I don't know. It's actually kind of creepy. Obviously, obviously it's dumb. But
that's okay. You can say that. The guy is stupid. It was dumb. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the crux of this whole thing.
But it's creepy too.
It is kind of creepy. It is kind of creepy. And you know, I thought of women who, you know, get attacked and stuff like that. And then I said to myself,
yeah,
it's really odd that this pulled over a guy, you know,
yeah,
that was kind of strange.
It's not a good story.
No.
I don't know how many rules Brian has. I think he has three, but he may have revised and extended his remarks. And maybe there's something on there about creepy as well. But
we're trying to contact him. So once we do, we should find out if there is a creepiness. And if there isn't, we could use this story and say, could you come up with a fourth rule?
Right.
That kind of covers this one. Men, people are creepy.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Another Brian's first rule of social dynamic story. From Wednesday, the 22nd of October, West Palm Beach, Florida. Teen shoots himself while talking on the phone. Authorities say a West Palm Beach teen accidentally shot himself while he was talking on the phone. Investigators believe the 16-year-old boy, whose name was not released, was home alone Tuesday night. It appears the teen was talking on the phone and playing with a handgun when it went off. Now, I read that, and I said to myself, well, why wouldn't they know what happened? Why didn't they just ask him? And then I read the last line. He was found dead at the scene.
But that made me wonder, how did they know he shot himself?
Right. Well, I would assume that, you know, that he had a gun in his hand, that the person who was talking with him on the phone
said something.
I'm hoping. You know, my thought was, well, how do you know that he didn't commit suicide? They're presenting this as an accident. Teen accidentally shoots himself, but maybe he actually committed suicide. But again, I'm assuming that they talked to whoever he was talking on the phone with.
How do they know?
I don't know. But either way, it was pretty dumb. Darwin wins on this one.
Absolutely.
You know, he might not have won on the first one, but he definitely wins on...
But this is the second one in a row where there's more questions. This is not just about somebody who was dumb. This is, I want to know more about this.
You want to know more about the dumb kid?
I got this much of a story. They said he died by shooting himself while talking on the phone.
Right.
I don't know. I can't get by. How do they know?
I don't know. Well, I'll keep my nose to the intertubes.
Right.
Just in case it shows up somewhere.
The intertubes heard from again.
All right, third story. This one probably doesn't fit the dumb not so dumb as much as it fits penguin droppings, which is just a unique story out there. And this is about this woman, Sarah Lavely, who opened Sarah's Smash Shack in downtown San Diego this past summer. She invites people who are angry at someone or something
which pretty much represents 90% of the population.
Right. To come in and slam ceramic plates, vases, and glass pieces, such as framed photographs of an ex or whatever, against walls in a special room. 15 minutes, 15 plates, $45.
$5. This is going to be in under Dumb Knots or Dumb when somebody, you know, puts an eye out with a sharp piece of ceramic on a backflash.
Right. Possibly.
But for right now, I love Sarah Lavely. And when I first looked at it, I thought it said Sarah Lovely. But
uh-huh. Well, that would have been even better.
Yeah, I could see going in here. I definitely could. I don't know. I like the idea. Maybe I'm angry. But I like the idea of throwing plates.
I got a funny story to tell you that's sort of halfway related to this.
I've got a song.
When I was in college, one of the guys that I really was very, very fond of, and who I still have contact with today, 35 years later, had a horrible...
In a completely hetero way.
Right. Had a horrible, horrible, horrible temper.
Yeah.
But you only
you
saw
like this
it...
guy?
What?
You like this guy?
I love this guy. He was great. I really liked him a lot. He was funny. He was certainly in the top five intelligent people I know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But the temper was unbelievable. But you only saw it under certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I never saw him get angry like when he was having a conversation with somebody, even an argument with somebody. He would keep his cool, no problem. But when he was competitive, like we used to play paddleball.
Okay.
And he would, when he missed a shot, he would take the paddleball paddle and slam it on the ground.
Yeah.
And I mean, not just once or twice. I'm talking about until the paddle was reduced to like toothpicks. And
sounds like a fun guy so far.
He really, really was, but he just had this one little quirk, you know? He played the guitar.
But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Right. He had this guitar, and he played the guitar very, very well.
Okay.
And he wrote his own music.
Yeah.
And he wrote this really, really complicated music. And he would say to you, listen, I want to play this for you. Tell me what you think. And he'd play it, and it was gorgeous. It was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. But if he made a mistake during the thing, he would, like, snap the guitar string on purpose. Just snap it.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, like I said, this was the only time you saw it. I mean, I saw him get into arguments about religion and politics and all kinds of stuff with other people, but never showed that side of himself.
Yeah.
So he's somebody who could have benefited from Sarah's Smash Shack in downtown San Diego.
Yeah, his guitar could anyway.
Might have saved him a guitar or two.
Might have. I played, I won't say fantasy baseball, but it was Strat-O-Matic with a guy who used to have a tantrum every time you rolled good dice.
Uh-huh.
And, after a while, I just stopped playing. It's like, you know, fuck this. His and friends would all be embarrassed. It was stupid.
Right.
Well, I just thought maybe I'd throw in a quick thing about this article about the Australian wool innovation. And again, probably sure, more suited for penguin droppings. But it's Australian, but it says for the Japanese executives market.
Right.
A washable business suit that can be cleaned in an ordinary shower and will dry overnight. Virtually wrinkle free. The idea of washing your suit in the shower sounds great. But they said in a pinch, it can even be worn in the shower. I'm all for having clean clothes, but
that's going a bit far.
Yeah, a little dumb there, I think.
I tell you, Max, when I see something like this, right in my mind, I get a picture.
Me too.
Of a Japanese man in a business suit that is like so horribly wrinkled.
Yeah,
you know, and like
before he gets in the shower or afterwards.
Afterwards, you know. Because it's virtually wrinkle-free, which doesn't mean totally wrinkle-free. And I could see it like, you know, it's like 4 inches up from the bottom of his shoes so that you can see his socks.
Right.
And the arms are like 6 inches too short and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm all for whatever this is for.
innovation.
But I mean, you know, if you're in a hotel, you can just get them to press your suit overnight for, you know, a few bucks.
Yeah, there's some things that are not essential.
And being able to wash your suit in the shower.
Not essential.
Does not seem to be essential, no.
Throwing plates, essential.
Right. There is a difference.
Yeah.
All right. What's bugging Max and T-Fab P as we're going out here? I already ranted on politics. I'm tired.
Well, you kind of spend your energy on that one.
You know, I mean, we've been talking about it for months and months and months.
Well, the campaign's been going for 2 years in one way or another.
And I'm just tired of it. I want to vote. I want there to be a winner. I want the winner to be Obama. And I want to move on. I want to move on with my life.
Well, and even if we could vote tomorrow, and even if Obama were elected, things aren't going to change for another 3 months.
Right. And then reality is that they're not going to change for a year, because it's going to take Obama months and months just to get up to speed on the
right. All the problems. Well, let us not fall into the trap of assuming that he's won this yet.
Right.
Because he's
no,
he's
no, I'm not. No, 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 no.
But I take your point, and I have been thinking about the same thing lately, and I can't help, my mind keeps going back to the British and I think Canadian and Israeli parliamentary systems, where they call for elections, they call for a vote of no confidence.
Right.
When things get bad, you throw the bomb out immediately. And you have, I think in Canada, it's 2 months of campaigning, and then you vote. And the problem with this process is it's become nonstop, year-round, and even for political junkies like myself.
It's just too much.
It does seem to be too much, and I can't wait. I was thinking about taking the day off for Election Day, but I'm going to be so anxious to see what happens. I'm going to go into work just so that I can be distracted.
Right. Well, you're not going to see anything until late in the day anyway, so.
Yeah.
You probably should take the next day off if you're planning to stay up most of the night watching the.
That's not a bad thought. The polls are going to close at 9 o'clock. Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio are all going to be in the Eastern time zone. Right. When they call those states, if they call them all from one candidate, well, if they call them all for McCain, then it means real trouble. And if they call it for Obama, it's over. But, you know, they probably won't call that until midnight or whatever. So
sure.
It's going to be a long day. But it has been a long campaign, you're right. And we get it by now. I can't help but wondering about the people who are undecided at this point. Maybe they haven't seen any commercials yet. You think maybe?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they haven't been robocalled yet.
Geez, that's another thing. And McCain, of course, chastised George Bush for putting out these robocalls that said.
But that's because McCain said, because his are true. That's the difference. Bush's were false and his are true.
What would you say if you knew, would it make a difference to you if you knew that John McCain had a brown child?
No, it wouldn't make any difference to me, but...
No, but that was the robocall that they used...
I know. I know.
South Carolina.
South Carolina, right.
And John McCain does have a brown child because they adopted a girl from India.
Right.
So it was true, but it was highly misleading and suggestive.
Just like everything else that they do.
Right. So let's not talk about politics, right?
All right. So that's done. I like this other one. Because you and I have a different opinion on this.
Yes. What's bugging me is people who call women dude.
Okay. Lay it on me. Why?
Well, because in my parochial archaic brain, a dude is a guy. Just like I had a hard time adapting to women and girls' use of cute in referring to a guy. I'd hear a girl say, he's cute.
Right.
And to me, cute always meant female.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But those days are gone.
Well, I disagree with you on this one, because I sort of think that, well, first of all, dude is another one of those words, like sucks, that has that has gone over.
No.
And is now just refers to a person who is in some way, shape, or form cool.
No.
And so in certain situations where I've been where there are – well, I, you know, I'll give an example. Mrs. Penguin and I go over to a friend's house and play cards occasionally.
Yeah.
All right. We haven't done it in a long time.
A couple of dudes?
Well, yeah. They're, those dudes are a friend of mine, are friends of mine.
Yeah.
One of them is a guy. One of them is a woman. I worked with the woman for 20 years. And to me, she's dude. Dude, how you doing? You know, because I consider her cool, mainly because she's still my friend. I mean, that alone makes her cool, you know. And to me, it's become very, very generalized for coolness. I mean, I call Booth Boy dude all the time because he's – how much cooler can you be than Booth Boy?
Well, dude is over the top cool. Dude is – around the bend and back again to the point where calling someone dude is sarcastic.
Oh, see, I don't – well, it can be for sure. And there's that beer commercial where the guy just looks at you know, and
like
just says, dude, you know.
Dude.
Yeah, that's sarcastic. But when I refer to this person, when I call her up and I say, dude, how you doing, it's
– all right.
It's dudeness.
No, it's not right. It's like calling a nun father.
No. See, oh, you are just so...
Go ahead, say it.
Unhip.
I am so hip I can't see over my pelvis.
I tell you.
It's for a man. It's a guy.
It's not. It's a generic... it's a generic coolness thing.
Nothing. There's nothing cool about dude.
There's everything dude. Cool about dude.
Dude, no, you can you can say it in a conversation as a way to attract someone's attention. It's roughly the equivalent of hey, but dude, come on.
I tell you, I have no problems with calling women dude. Now listen, understand that I'm not talking about every woman. I would refer to Mrs. Penguin as dude sometimes. I would refer to my daughter as dude sometimes.
Oh, man.
I would refer to a couple of best friends who are – but let me just say this. Okay, that woman that I worked with for 20 years that I call dude that I play cards with, I have another woman at work that I've worked with for 28 years.
Yeah.
I would never call her dude. She's not a dude. She just isn't.
You need dude therapy.
Well, on that note,
you need to have your dude fixed.
I need to have my dude fixed? I don't think so. I think you need to have your dude examined.
You have a broken dude. It's wrong.
Max, we're well over.
Yeah?
We're not going to win on this one at all.
I don't think so.
This is like the Brett Favre. We're going to have to cut it in half. We'll just have to say do from now on.
Well, hey, I mean, it's a free country, and you're welcome in my world to say whatever you like.
Well, no, because now every time I say that, I'm going to think that I'm pissing you off.
I will know that you're wrong, and I will tolerate it for the sake of my Christian charity.
Okay.
It's okay. I don't mind. I can bear these little burdens.
All right.
It's okay. You can call anyone you want, dude. You can call George fucking Bush, dude, for all I care.
Well, on that note, dude, I'm out of here. Good night.
Bye.
I'm your only friend. I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend. But really, I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck-free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screams.